Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. We're really doing a cafe tonight. We've got hot beverages, and my lovely sister Amy is joining me in the cafe tonight. So in the studio cafe, I'm just going to say cafe because it is the Transformation Cafe. So we're very, very excited to be actually just being able to actually sit and look at one another tonight. So that's kind of a nice thing. Usually it's via all of our technology and things like that. And so it's really welcome, Amy.
Well, I just want to say one thing. Please don't be difficult.
Okay. And that's such a great segue. It goes right into what we're talking about tonight. So we're going to be talking about difficult people in the workplace. And Amy, you want to kind of talk about where you're coming from with that and just your experience through your career. And just to kind of let everybody know, if you go back to a lot of the different shows that we've probably had, like in the last at least year, Amy's done shows on happiness. We've done shows on just mindfulness, different kinds of meditation and things like that that are out there. So really would encourage everybody to go to our archives and see what we have going on that. But Amy is also a life management coach. And it's always wonderful to hear it straight from being in the workplace and seeing some of the difficulties. Amy's been a wonderful facilitator for just all different kinds of situations. She's had, you know, people where a bank, you had a bank one time that they had a robbery, and you've gone in and helped with difficult situations and things like that too.
Well, helping them get back online, because if you don't get them up and working again soon, they're going to be challenged to go back to work.
Right.
So I think, you know, and part of that is we're going to play with what is difficult and what are difficult people and how do we make sense out of that when we're trying to have whole lives. And if we're only looking at whole lives outside of our work and we spend most of our time at work, I think we're missing something.
Well, we do spend most of our time at work. I mean, you know, people are spending anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week with at work.
80 hours.
Yeah, if you're the workaholics, you know how that goes. And, you know, when it comes to levels of having relationships with just your significant others, I think your significant others really are more the people that you work with sometimes than people that, you know, decide to walk down the aisle with. You know how that goes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what is difficult?
Well, that's a good question. Let's explore that. Let's play with that.
Okay.
We were talking earlier with Andy, your executive.
He's just my everything.
He's your everything. And we were having, you know, interesting conversations about, what are the difficult people at work? And I think we have to really look at that for ourselves, because sometimes you might think, oh, they're difficult because they're demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that really difficult? So I think it's very important to start looking at for yourself what's difficult and what's working and what's not working. So I think what I'm talking about difficult, I'm talking about people that make it challenging for you to do a good job,
mm-hmm.
that they don't treat you with respect,
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel valued, you don't feel heard. Because we were talking earlier about, you know, are they competent people? Well, they may be or they may not be. So I think that there's difficult for different reasons. You may be difficult because you enjoy doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoy torturing people. Or it may be that you're afraid and you're putting up a front.
Well, because I think sometimes too, isn't it just the fact that you're success driven? And if you're, say, in management, you've got executives above you that are pushing you for certain levels of productivity within yourself and then even with your staff.
Absolutely.
And having certain levels of fear about that, about, you know, how do I get everybody to come in and be every day 24/7 at peak performance? When it comes to that, it almost becomes abusive, because it's not a matter of
allowing ourselves to be vulnerable in letting people know what we need. We just basically want to just keep pushing, because then maybe even in your childhood or the way you were raised, that's the way you were basically taught to be able to achieve when it comes to your education and how, you know, just family patterns and things are going to be put out there about how do we succeed and how do we do things in the world, you know, and you would put that onto the people that you work with because that's what you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about, right, I look back at my career, I have to say I've had 3 or 4 different, you know, major sections of my career so far. When I first was starting, when I was 18, working full-time and going to school at night for the federal government, and I was starting to think, what were difficult people there? People that, I remember I had a commander who, in this period that he never ate and he never went to the bathroom. And we'd be it was really, really frustrating because we'd be in these program management reviews for hours and hours and hours, and nobody wanted to take a break if he didn't. And so we wouldn't stop for food. He wouldn't stop for to go to the bathroom, anything. And it finally got to a point where he's like, I'm about ready to pass out.
Yeah.
And I got up and walked out.
Yeah.
And everybody said, okay, we're going to take a break. And I thought, I wasn't one of the top level people in that meeting.
Yeah.
And it really surprised me why I decided to say, I literally just couldn't take it anymore, and I had to leave. And so that's one level, I think, of difficulty when you're not looking at the needs of other people. I know you had the show about narcissism, right?
Yeah.
Somebody come on and talk about narcissism.
Right.
And I think that is an arena that is not understood very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that narcissists are running our organizations in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think going back and listening to that show and doing some more research on how do you deal with narcissists. So I think that's certainly something that's part of this. And what I find is people carry the stuff that they've not resolved in their lives into their workplaces.
Well, how can you not?
You can't. Right. But we don't acknowledge that.
Right.
And having worked with employee assistance programs for 20 years, that's what I started discovering. I go in and start working with people, and I realize, there's grief issues that they haven't resolved.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was a death or a layoff. But think about it. In the last 10 years, I know many people who've been laid off once, twice, 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times when we're working with somebody, it's because of they don't want to put their whole into something because they did and they got laid off or they got fired.
Well,
they were looking for somebody to hang, to cut the costs because of the economy.
Right. And, you know, the old days of like, you know, you dedicate yourself to a business and you're there for the duration and it's going to be a 30 to 40 year career. That's just isn't going to happen anymore. So that's an old paradigm that people are just, it's really sad to think I'm not going to get that gold watch. I'm not going to get that kind of, long service and having that. And just the fact that you came from a level of being with military and coming from that, you know, no matter what, we're going to stay in this meeting and we're going to get it done, you know, so it's
people
that.
Drop them dead.
Right. You know, it's, you know, boot camp, you know, on whatever level, and like, well, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for boot camp. So, you know, that level of, you know, self-care and having it, being able to come from a place of being productive because I'm really in my best place so I can be present with everything I have going on and being able to give it on that level.
Yeah.
So a part of that, too, is coming from self-care and knowing what everybody needs on just a real basic level so people can feel heard on a physical level and then moving it into the emotional.
Well, and it was interesting because I was teaching, doing a workshop at a major company, and ended up happening was there was a person that was in the room who was, oh, God, this big, huge guy, really kind of frightening.
Mm-hmm.
He was so big, and he was just scowling, and he was just mad the whole time I'm doing this workshop. And everybody left, and then he stayed in the room. And, I mean, he was, you know, I'm 5'2". He was, 6'5", or something, kind of towering over me. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm starting looking for where's the door to get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a difficult person, and he was just mad, and he was just angry. And I just did, so I know, okay, there's kind of, literally, it sounds crazy, but I did. It looked like, how could I get out of here if I had to?
Mm-hmm.
So I had an eye on the door. Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, I am going to be really, really present for this person. Okay, they're very difficult. Clearly, he's really angry. I'm assuming it's not at me because, you know, how would we be that angry at somebody doing, you know, and really get a workshop?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, well, you want to sit down and talk a little bit? And so we did, and we looked eye to eye, heart to heart, and come to find out that he'd been demoted.
Oh.
And he was upset, and nobody was talking to him about it. And he said, and I'm so grateful that I had this time in your class because I realized how angry I was, and I realized if I didn't go to the employee assistance program and talk to somebody that I was probably going to hurt myself or I was going to hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that until I sat down and really we did some good, a lot of times when I do workshops and coaching, whatever I do, it's all about asking good questions and giving people the space to look at where they're at. And he, I think that was the first time he really got to realize, oh my gosh, I'm not happy. And I've been really angry, and something's going to happen if I don't get some help. So I think that's really important for your, number one, you got to know yourself. You got to be, you're right, self-care is important. I'm finding something that I'm really drawn to these days is self-care for leaders and how we don't do that. And I found that a lot of, and I was talking with a good friend of mine earlier today about difficult work situations and what I found myself doing in very challenging situations as the leader. I created air pockets in organizations. So dealing with difficult people could be a whole gaggle of people, or it could be a person.
You know, so describe to me what you consider an air pocket. Just I want to go dance in that for a second.
Okay, so think about you've got a big organization, and what you know do is you create a sphere inside that organization. Let's say the air is not bad, you know, that it's not healthy, it's not good, people are not treated well. So what I mean by creating an air pocket, it would be a zone where there would be healthy oxygen,
okay,
and there would be support, and there would be caring. And it was really interesting because I got in trouble because my team was having too much fun. And the other groups were mad at us. And we were the difficult people because we were having too much fun. And
then
we had to, had to stop that. So I said, so I went to the powers that be that were trying to get us in trouble. And I said, okay, on what metric are we not outperforming every other team in this organization? And they couldn't find it. I said, I'm sorry that us having fun is upsetting you, but I make sure people take breaks. I make sure that they do, they only work as much as they're really producing well. I've read studies that you can only work effectively for 90 minutes. And so it's good to set a timer for 90 minutes and then get up and maybe stretch a little bit, take a nice breath, maybe go to the bathroom.
Go dancing.
You know, go maybe a little dancing, maybe a little laughter. That's always a good thing. But then you're more productive. You know, so it isn't, dealing with it. Because I believe, number one, that you have to be careful. Am I being the difficult person? And if you're not taking care of yourself, you probably are.
So that's right there would be something to really look at. Because I want to make sure within this conversation we've got tools, and then we've got, exercises or just kind of check-ins for yourself of like, how am I going to know what's difficult, whether it's with another person or myself. So one of the number one things would be, am I making sure to do self-care for myself? We're okay.
What I would do, yes, I would definitely, and I do this on a regular basis. I stop and if a situation, if I'm finding there's the things feel difficult, I say, am I taking care of myself? What have I done to cause this difficulty? And then looking at that, and then they're like, no, it's other people or it's sort of the situation. I have a circle of people that I work with, a lot of people who are counselors, coaches, psychologists. And so what I end up doing is I'll call them and say, all right, am I out of line here? And trying to do a balance because, it's kind of hard. You start drinking your own Kool-Aid, right? And you start thinking, oh, no, I've got this all figured out. I've got it taken care of. And so I think you have to really look at that. Am I being difficult? Am I doing self-care? And finding ways that you can do that. So for instance, with the flower shop. And
flowers for you in Riverside, California.
In Riverside, California.
Yeah.
Mother's Day. Let's just go to Mother's Day for a minute, which is the biggest holiday, right, for florists. So how do you make sure that you don't become difficult, right, and customers don't become difficult, and your employees don't become difficult when it's the most demanding time in your business?
Well, one thing that I really take time before the holiday. To get everybody together and break bread. We all have a meal together. We'll talk about, does anybody have any questions or concerns about what we've got going on? I'm really blessed. I mean, the majority of people that I have helping me with holidays and stuff like that, it's not the first time that they've been experiencing something like that. So I always do a pre and then a post of like, how did we do? What's going on? How is everybody feeling? And I've had people where they've had to leave in the middle of a holiday because they've had family crises happen and things like that. Right. So it's really good to know that it's that feedback and making sure that I know I'm making myself available for people and what's going on with everything. So it really helps to just know that I'm available, and it's important for me to let everybody know that I'm here and I really care about that. But we also have a really good policy, too, that, you know, everybody that walks in the door, we want to make sure that they know that, you know, our goal is to make them happy and to get what they need. So it's about service. And that's the number one thing that's very, very important to have those things happening.
So when you have a difficult client, what kind of things do you do to deal with them effectively and maintain, number one, good customer service, but also not give away the farm, as it were, right?
Well, the first thing I do is talk about not to say there's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you're not happy with what happened. We want to make sure that, you know, whatever we can do to make it right for you, that's our first priority and goal. And we're going to do whatever we can to make that, make you know that we're going to be trying to take care of the situation. So it's that I hear you and I want to do whatever I can to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a situation the other day, and part of my frustration with being a florist is some of the wire services that I deal with, because their bottom line is about the money. They're not there to make sure that the customer is actually getting satisfied and getting the product that they want to the person that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what had happened. They had ordered something online, and it was supposed to be just this generic designer bouquet, and it was direct with graduation, and they thought they were ordering graduation lei.
Wow.
And so when something got delivered, for us, it just looked like, you know, designer choice, whatever we want to do for a value. And then when they got the delivery, they were like, we wanted a graduation lei. This isn't what we ordered at all. And the sort they called back on me, not happy. And then I went ahead and explained to them, you went through a wire service and this is what you've ordered. And so basically they contacted me. I said, to get your money back, you'll need to go there, and whatever I can do to help, let me know. But really, you went there, so we're basically the go-between to do the service for you. And they called me back saying that the bouquet that we had delivered, they had to go ahead and have that. They said, we're not going to give you your money back until you take the money, the arrangement back to the florist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they called me telling me the situation. And I just said, you know, that's not right. Because, you know, they told me what we were supposed to have delivered. You were assuming that you had a different product. I said, as far as I'm concerned, you keep that bouquet. And if they want to come back to me and say that you weren't supposed to get your money, I'm going to tell them that you brought me back that bouquet. Because they're the ones who are wrong. And I'm going to make sure that I'm not shorted by that as well, because through what my agreement was with that company, I did the best with what I had for information.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I mean, ultimately I would have, you know, if they wanted a lay or whatever, I would have made it appropriate for what we needed to do. But it's always that outside influence of stuff that happens, that it's just, you know, the chaos of like, how do you deal with something like that and being able to stand in it? They were kind of blown away that I was willing to say, keep it, and they're the ones at fault. So whatever I need to do to, you know, fight for you, I'm going to fight for you, because that's just not right that they put it back on you when it comes to a letter that they're insufficient with their systems, they're insufficient with their people, and not make sure that they're trained in getting something so they understand what you're really wanting to have done.
Well,
so a lot of it's just communication. A lot of it's making people know that I do care and I'm going to do whatever I can. On whatever level.
Right.
And to me, I don't mind going that extra mile, that extra step, because, you know, whether it's that customer or somebody else, my reputation and who I am means a lot to me.
Well,
and I would want somebody to do that for me.
And it may not pay back directly with that person.
Exactly.
But it's going to...
It always comes back.
And your reputation is everything.
Exactly.
You know, and
that's
holding that.
Whether you have a business or you're just working with a customer or you're working with a business, you know, when it comes to something like that, it's everything. So, you know, I think that's, you know, when you look at spiritual laws, you look at the way of working, coming from a spiritual perspective in life, that's just something that you take self-responsibility for yourself and your actions and what you're going to do. And however you can have that go out to people around you, that's something that you really need to be fortifying that.
Well, I think that it's beyond that, too. And let's just look at it purely as a business thing,
mm-hmm.
that if you're doing the right thing at the right time, with the right people, mm-hmm. the things do work out.
Yeah.
But it's not looking for that direct payment back. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm doing some work on Thursday, and work that I love doing, working with 60 people who work with families at risk. I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call a couple of months ago to do this work, and I was recommended by somebody that I worked with 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago. I hadn't talked to them in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was pleasant to work with, I did a good job. Okay, a lot of people do a good job. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more than that, is that I work to make situations pleasant, and that when you work with me, that you walk away feeling better
mm-hmm.
than you did. And so, but that's no accident. I mean, I have to really focus on every correspondence that I do and everything that's part of the package, that I work to be pleasant and not difficult. Something that came to mind as you were speaking, I was really difficult once. And
no, you've never been hard to imagine. As a sister,
once.
You've just been... Just
once. It was just once, though.
You've been blended
that I can think
good.
Of.
Blended the good. Okay.
So I was just about to get in the car to drive to the airport. I was going on a business trip. I was leading a group. And, of course, if I don't show up, it don't happen. I was teaching
kind of nice, though.
A room full.
You know,
yeah.
You know,
it ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
They can't do without me.
Yeah, I'm not late. Because I can't
exactly. Answer. That's a good point. So it was, 30 people from all over the country, probably coming for a handling difficult people class, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about to, but I thought, well, I had just deposited a check, and I don't know why, but I just thought, I really need to make sure that happened, because, I'd pay, written mm-hmm. some checks or whatever. Remember the olden days when we'd write checks?
Yeah. Once in a while I do that, just for nostalgic purposes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, okay.
So I had called the bank and just to make sure, and they deposited in the wrong account.
Oh.
Well, I said, well, that's no big deal,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
they can just switch that over. So they said, oh, no, you have to come in. And I'm like, no, I cannot come in.
Yeah.
If I come in, I'm going to miss my plane, and then I'm going to lose income.
Right.
And this is not my fault.
Right.
I went in, and I gave you all the right numbers. I had all the paperwork. Oh, so sorry. So sad to be you. And so I was like, okay, I was getting a little testy, but I thought, okay, how hard could this be?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, can I please talk to your supervisor? Okay, great. So I figure, okay, we're going to whip this right out. I'll get in the car. Everything will be fine. So I get the next person, and same thing. Oh, so sad to be you. We can't do anything about it. So I just seeing all in my mind all these overcharges happening and my reputation and, oh, my gosh, and I'm getting really upset at this point. So then they said, okay, again, they switched me to another person. It's the third time, and I am mad. I am really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever gets on that phone, I don't care who it is, I am going to let them have it. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, you just hurt, and I'm going to this bank, and I'm going to quit coming to you people, and you're just the meanest people in the whole world, and this woman just let me go on and on and on. And then finally, I kind of wore myself out, and she said, I'm sorry that happened. That shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't, because it wasn't her fault.
Mm-hmm. Was she able to fix it?
She was able to fix it. Well, then mm-hmm. she says, let's see what we can do. And it's like, we? There's a we?
Yeah.
Up till now, it was like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I was like, but now, no, let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we negotiated, we got it settled. So, I don't even remember the solution, but there was a solution.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing was I didn't leave the bank. And trust me, after those first two people, I was going to leave that bank and tell everybody I knew
mm-hmm.
that they should not bank with them.
Because
mm-hmm. exactly. I did all the right things, and they screwed up. So I use that technique now.
we're going to make this happen.
Well, first off, she let me go through about three rounds. So I was like, and then she waited until I kind of went around about three times about, the story. When you're mad, you just keep telling the same story over and over and over again. And I had kind of just blew out my steam instead of her trying to engage me
mm-hmm.
when I was still at this head of steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of, and then she kind of took a breath. And then I did too.
Mm-hmm.
And then she immediately apologized
mm-hmm.
again. But it was so profound because she didn't say I screwed up, because she didn't.
Right.
She just said that should not have happened.
Right.
I am sorry.
Right.
And I was like, so I learned a lot from that.
That was a really great answer.
Yeah.
I mean, just dealing with any, because sometimes, you have somebody who, if you had just somebody who's passed away, or they just have these horrible things that happen, and you're just like, what can you say?
Yeah.
When you just say, that just shouldn't have happened.
And then immediately moving into resolution. And maybe we couldn't have found a resolution, but what can we do may have been, finding, something that could have been a stopgap or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she was willing to try to work with me
mm-hmm.
made everything different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important, to let people feel heard,
mm-hmm.
to apologize for a wrong that was done to them, even if you had nothing to do with it. You can feel bad about it,
yeah,
even though you did do it.
Right.
And then move in.
Well, you have compassion. You don't
necessarily,
you have compassion for that person. It's like, you know, yeah, that shouldn't have happened to you, and I'm sorry that did.
And then, and how can I be of service in this situation?
How can I help? Yeah, how can I help?
And so that was really profound. That was many years ago. And ever since then, I watch myself to make sure I'm not in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny. I teach a lot of people that technique. You know, nowadays.
It's a great technique, yeah. And that reminds me of a lady that when I started doing networking, her name was Peggy, and she was like that. She was just like, how can we, you know, what are we going to do to move this forward, and who has ideas about that? She would automatically open it to everybody and make it a collective. And I think that's something that women do, you know.
Well, I think men can be really good at that, too. But I think, yeah, it's more of a feminine thing. But that doesn't mean, you know, men can't do it.
It's just that model, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make it, you know.
Great, I hear you.
Yeah, with a gender thing. But I think it's true when it comes to levels of camaraderie and moving it forward, you know, how men do it on a camaraderie level, and then how women do that is just very, very different. But so when it comes to tools, and, you know.
Well, I'm going to share one of my favorite techniques. Well, the one we just talked about, and I would say diffusing a difficult situation, you could call that, or, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a clever name for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is let a person, when they're spewing at you, let them kind of run themselves down.
And not taking it personally.
Don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally.
I mean, that doesn't mean that you get to have to take abuse. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
But, you know, we all need to feel hurt.
Well, you know the difference if somebody was
They're attacking you.
They start saying you or whatever.
Yeah, they start attacking you. They do, yeah. So, I mean, I think we could have
a long
conversation.
Either insulting you or something
yes.
like that, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
we're going to move into that.
Yeah.
And then start the breathing, you know, and, you know, doing a lot of mindfulness practice, especially when they teach you when you work with kids, but it really is with anybody in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You start breathing deeply,
mm-hmm.
and
they
won't start breathing deeply. You know,
sometimes it's even the tone of your voice.
Absolutely.
If you slow down the way you're talking, you know, not in a a condescending way, but you just kind of slow your, you know, like she said, she paused and allowed you to talk.
Right.
So it's a matter of, like you said, creating some space.
Yes, exactly.
Being spacious within what's happening.
I mean, it almost took my breath away when she said, "I'm sorry that happened to you."
Yeah.
I mean, it almost. I couldn't be mad anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I just literally couldn't
be
mad anymore.
Well, that's the thing, like, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody is at least being sympathetic with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't right, and, you know, she doesn't have to own it on a personal level, but it's just being sympathetic.
So, here's a very, very simple technique to make sure you're not the difficult person, and if you're in a situation that really feels bad, what I want you to do is I want you to, you start feeling it in your body, and you start thinking, I'm going to say something, or I'm going to do something that I regret. What I want you to do is to, you could, like, clap your hands or do something to, you know, those people will put a rubber band on and snap it, that you stop and you imagine a red stop sign or something like that. Just stop it. So you stop yourself from being in that upsetness. And then what you do is you imagine what do you want to have happen. So
mm-hmm.
you stop,
mm-hmm.
take three nice deep breaths. Keep yourself centered again, because it's like you get that reptilian brain and you're like, you start getting crazy and things get madder.
Mm-hmm.
So you stop yourself, see your red stop sign,
mm-hmm.
maybe clap your hands, something to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Three nice big breaths to calibrate. Then you imagine what you want to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
You want this to be a pleasant conversation. You don't want to be upset about the traffic, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask for guidance. Give me one small step that I can take right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you follow it.
Mm-hmm. Singing that now moment with the breath and
yes.
just like, what can I do right now?
Yes. Stop the crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and even when you're dealing with somebody that's difficult, you can just stop. Even you don't have to close your eyes or anything. Like, imagine somebody like this woman, me attacking this poor woman. I imagined her doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That she's like, oh, this poor woman, she's losing her mind. So she, instead of her attacking me, she stopped herself. She was totally justified in it. She could have attacked me,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't.
Right.
So she stopped herself. She took some nice deep breaths, which I ended up taking with her. She was like, what can we do? Came up with an answer and took an action.
So this is just really a lot of